President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 13th on the West Coast, now July the 14th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. And we want you folks in the U.S. military to pay close attention to what we talk about tonight. We're going to be covering a few different topics, and boy, I'll tell you, the spin is out there today again. This oil thing in the Gulf, they're telling us that the robots are 40 feet away from the wellhead, and they're ready to cap it. And they have these stories. It's the same thing in the financial community. Next Tuesday, the money will be in your account next Tuesday. We had a little glitch, but the money should be there by Friday. The glitch buys them a little more time. Then on Friday, they're telling you, we had a problem. We had computers weren't working right, we'll have the money in your account next Tuesday. This goes on year after year after year. We're playing the same game. We've exposed what's going on there, and it doesn't matter what they tell you about capping the wellhead. This is all diversion. They are stealing billions of dollars on these shorts, these put options that are executed in nanoseconds. We told you who's doing it, how this thing was set up, and that's why they're doing it. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the Gulf other than that's an excuse. Now, the pollution is coming primarily from the Corex at 9500. Every time Dr. Atru Watt talks about it, they shut his internet off. So I think we've identified the problem. But people keep listening to mainstream media. I listen to it for all of 15, 20 seconds just to get the scoop. And I hear it on the radio, too, the same lies. Then they say, okay, it's going to be capped tomorrow, but we won't know until the end of July or August if the cap works. And they're showing us things lit up underneath the ocean like Disneyland. Folks, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Then they've got a whole crew of BP scientists who are in this war room, basically. And they got TV monitors up on the wall, and they're showing different pictures of the same event, and none of the pictures look alike. And we're supposed to believe that they're actually in there working? This is all a big play, and it's a pretty lousy one, actually. I don't think you'd buy a ticket to go see it. With that, I'm going to stop because I could go on all night about all the lies that are being told. I'm going to invite tonight's guest on board with us. He is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints and has been for a number of years. He is an environmental scientist. He's a chemist. He's also a historian, an herbalist, and a musician. And he's my good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Hi, good morning, Don. Doing good. Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, glad to have you back. You got to hear a little bit of a rant. I'm ramping up the rant about what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. And I know that you follow it as much as you can. What are you hearing on your end? What are the people in New York saying?
Geez, Don, actually, people in New York, all in all, I couldn't tell you. But I do know from some people down in the Florida side of the Gulf, as of the other day, everything's fine and quiet, tranquil, no problems yet. No signs of people leaving in droves, no signs of any people getting sick or anything. So that's on the Florida side of the Gulf. That's the closest I can get to it with direct contacts with people I know down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got those reports to go on. And aside from that, you know, the media itself, of course, well, they never tell us the truth. We'll always be in the dark if we rely on them. And of course, this catastrophe, disaster, yes, Don, the racketeers are making a bundle off it while they really wreak havoc on our ocean and all the life along the coast as well as in the waters. It's a very pathetic thing that's happening down there.
Yes. And it makes no sense until you see all the facts. We've been discussing that on the show. We show how Goldman Sachs was deeply involved in setting up a sort of a dummy company to compete with Citadel Investments in Chicago. And I think they just outright lied and said that a former vice president, other company, stole some software, encoded software, and then emailed it to an encrypted website in Europe. It just doesn't make any sense. The only sense it makes is that they were behind the whole thing, because a company that was created to compete with Citadel Investments never really went into business. And what's going on in the Gulf right now is profiting one of their associates that has a fish exporter, we'll say, in Dubai, and it's part of a Russian company. You know, the connections just keep going all over the place.
Yes, Don, they always do. But so, we know they always lie. If they ever told us the truth, that's when we'll have a heart attack.
But, you know, when you think about this, Michael, and I brought this up on some other shows, there's an oil company that has actually entered territorial waters of the United States and is now controlling the beaches of that country. Do you think this would be allowed in any other country?
To some degree, it's probably going on all around the world, Don, because of the control of the Rockefeller, Rothschild family cabal of banksters. And so I'm sure, for the most part, this is happening all around the world. I mean, these families own the world. They've managed to take over the governments of every country using our military as the muscle when necessary, and the CIA for the wet work as far as assassinating those that refuse to yield to their devilish and crooked racketeering ways, mm-hmm. which, of course, that comes down to controlling the money supply of that country. And then they get the country in debt because it's a debt-based monetary system, just like with us. We end up in debt to them. Now, the government needs to pay off the debt, and so they continue to tax and tax the people of the country. And, of course, those people being taxed are the producers of the country. And so over time, the taxes continue to go up because the debt to these loan sharking scumbag banking families continues to go up and up. And so the taxes go up and up. Next thing you know, the country's broke. And so what happens? Either the bankers just say, well, we got enough out of you. The Rockefellers and the Schwarzschilds, you think they walk away? No, they say, well, look, you still owe us. So now we own this. We own your mining companies. We own the land that is being mined. We own the oil reserves. We own this reserve. We own all of your resources, your property. And this is how they've been operating for the last 100 years. And so, yes, Don, unfortunately, this is going on everywhere. And when it comes to controlling resources of other countries, yes, they're getting away with it. When it comes to open borders and allowing strangers to stroll right in, you roll out a red carpet, give them carte blanche treatment, No, we're the only country doing that, that's for sure.
Well, I've reported the trillions of dollars that have been stolen, the funds that have come over here to kickstart the economy. Now, if that's true, if that's true, and they're not doing anything about what's going on, then this country is bankrupt, isn't it? The Fed is bankrupt. The Treasury is bankrupt.
Yeah, Don, it's looking that way. Now, Walter Burian, who I'm sure is a legitimate man exposing the comprehensive annual financial reports. Now, if that's all true, and I'm sure it is, we are not bankrupt at all, but we don't see the real set of books where all the money really went. And when we just think about all of the money they bilk in from the taxpayers, as well as through lotteries and all that other stuff that people go for, looking for the quick get rich scheme. All the money they've taken in, did they really spend it all? I don't think so. It's
nobody's stealing it.
Yes, and it's secreted away into investments, Don. And therefore, technically, they're not broke. They're actually very wealthy.
Now, what they've done, though, they have stolen the gold reserves that this country had. No doubt about that. And they've been busy stealing it from other countries as well.
Yes, they hoard it all. They hoard everything. And then they tell us we can't hoard food or gasoline or any, you know, and they're the hoarders. They are the real hoarders. They confiscate everything, especially the more valuable it is, the more they hoard it. So, yes, in that sense, you know, they stole our gold and they broke us financially in that fashion, no question about it. But as far as the government's actually being broke, all the money they built out of the taxpayers, it cannot be all spent. Where did it all go on spending? So, and we never see the real set of books. In fact, we never see any books. All we know is what they tell us. Even down to the local government here, it's pathetic. And I always say, wouldn't it be nice if the public had access to the books so we know where the money goes that you collect from us?
We should want to do that. We should have that through, you mentioned Walter Burian. He was on this show a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked specifically about the General Accounting Office and the fact that they're coming up with these figures. Well, they have to have the books. So if you put in a Freedom of Information Act, you should be able to see all this. No, there are certain congressmen led by Ron Paul trying to get an audit of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And no, can't have that. Why not?
That's right.
Why not?
Why can't we look?
That's all you have to ask is those two words. Why?
That's right. That's right. Why can't we look? But even down to the local government sector, your local town, your county, your state, let's see the books. Your public servants, you're taking our money. You're telling us that you're allocating it to this and that. Well, let's see it on paper. Show us. Publish the books. We have the right to see that.
Michael, you remember the movie The Godfather, I'm sure. You've seen it once or twice, at least.
At least.
Okay. You remember the character when they did the flashbacks into Vito Corleone's early years. This is when he started to become noticed around the part of New York he was in.
Well, yes, that's when Robert De Niro playing a role.
Yes. Okay. And he's a nice guy. He's got the gruff voice. He's, you know, he steals a rug from a guy's house. Actually, it's offered to him by the guy who's helping him steal it.
Right.
And they take it to his house. And then, there's a shakedown going on. There's a local mafioso that, goes by the name of Don Fanucci.
Mm-hmm.
Don Fanucci, and he's going around basically extorting money out of everybody in the town. And so Robert De Niro and his criminal buddies are basically making a pact with each other that they're going to give him some money, and they leave it up to Robert De Niro, or I should say Vito Corleone, to work this deal out with him. Okay, basically BP's acting like Don Finucci right now.
I think they all are, though. Our entire Congress, Senate, executive level.
Well, exactly.
Judicial courts.
That's what I'm trying to evoke.
They're all behaving very arrogantly and you know, and blatantly just bilking the public, totally ripping them off, and with that grin, like there's nothing you can do about it, is there? Sure.
Well, you know, we have this usurper in office now who's basically just a puppet for everybody. He's definitely a puppet of the oil company, or I should say oil companies, the oil cartel, the pharmaceutical cartel. You know, he's pushing now, and I'm not against anything for, you know, for veterans. The veterans aren't getting the treatment they deserve, and he's telling everybody, oh, he's going to really bring the veterans in line and treat post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, you know, the whole country has to be treated for that if you're going to treat somebody. But this is now to appease the pharmaceutical companies, you see. I'm not saying that the veterans don't deserve any follow-up care when they return home. The whole point is they're not getting any of the care.
That money's been stolen. Yes.
That money has been stolen, and I have written about that being stolen from as early on as 1942. I haven't found proof that it was stolen before that, but if we took an educated guess, we'd probably say, yeah.
Sure.
It was.
Wherever, follow the money. Wherever that money is flowing to, it's being intercepted. So, for example, the government says, well, we're taxing you because we need this money for this purpose, to take care of the vets. Let's say that. Well, now you got a bunch of money being funneled or directed towards that cause. Well, you know the racketeers are right there. They've actually designed it all to be this way so that money flows in that direction because they're ready to intercept it as soon as it starts to flow. And that's right, Don. The intended people never get it. They get dribs and drabs maybe just for show. So when the cameras come in, oh, look at the vets. They're getting such great treatment. Thank you, Rockefeller Media. And then, of course, behind the scenes, you know, the vets are very unhappy. They're not getting any respect, mm-hmm. No respect. When they do, and I feel sorry for them, I have a friend who's a vet, and he's just coming back from an operation at the local vet hospital, and it's not the first one. And, you know, he feels good about the service available to him for that. But, of course, they give him poor service. Very poor service.
Poor service or no service. And
yeah.
They're given these excuses that they have to pay for this, or they don't have that program available, or they don't qualify for the program. Or
yeah, and you get all that, too.
Whatever's convenient.
That's
now,
right.
Now, back when Eisenhower was running, before he was running for president, and during the time he was running for president, and after he became president, they were raking money off the top of the Veterans Administration. I have proof of that. I have the communications between the various politicians and the minion that they put in Denison, Texas, who ran that whole thing. The guy even changed his name and became the mayor with another alias.
And it was, yeah, they get away with it, don't they?
And it was Eisenhower's brother. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
Okay. So that's how ingrained with this corruption the government has been for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And they lied to us then, and they've lied to us ever since then up to today. They're still lying to us now. And I just wonder.
It's a fact.
You know, how much are people going to...
I know. How much do they tolerate?
Are they going to take? Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's right. They seem to just keep going on and tolerating a bunch of BS. And it is disgusting, but as far as the general attitude out there of the public, I think for the most part, it's definitely getting very sour, very bitter, angry as more and more feel the crunch and the stress of a bleak looking future and a hole just getting deeper and deeper, it seems like. So
yeah, they've been
how much more they're going to take of that, time will soon tell. I hope the Americans do finally get motivated and organized and want to do something.
Now you have the NAACP wanting to put a stop to the Tea Parties. They're making accusations that mm-hmm. people in the Tea Parties are calling black people the N-word. Now, there are black people in the Tea Parties.
Mm-hmm. I guess they're racist too, Don.
Don't they notice that?
Yeah, they're racist too.
Yeah, this is just... You see, sure. we talked about this even with the Gulf. We talked about the fact that they're trying to orchestrate a race war. Mm-hmm. The whole reason the borders are open in the Southwest, they want a race war. They want
some kind of war.
Or civil war. But
that's right. They're trying their damnedest to get the Americans ticked off, and it is funny. It is really funny. It's like, geez, well, we tax them to death, and they smile and say, okay, thanks. And then we promote a lot of radicalism among either lunatic whites or lunatic blacks with their black power or their white power nonsense crap. And the Americans still sit back and just stay mellow. And then we flood their cities with gangs and punks and losers like that. And we supply them with weapons and we let them run amok. And the people still seem, like content. And when is it going to end? When are they going to start to get ticked off? We're flooding them with the Mexicans now, invading them, giving them carte blanche. And the people still are not getting angry. And so it is hilarious in that respect. How much patience and tolerance do the Americans possess?
It's really neither.
It's a stupor. The Americans were in a stupor. Never thinking, well, I see this going on all around me, but, I'm just going to ignore it. That's been the stupid attitude of the most
and
Americans.
And maybe it'll go away.
Yes, yeah. That's right. That's right, Don.
Well, we had an election in 2008. And now we have all these reports over the past month and a half, 2 months. There are these reports that Black Panthers prevented people in Philadelphia from voting, people in Washington, D.C., people in Houston, Texas, and I suppose any major metropolitan area where anybody had the courage to speak up. They were told, don't go in and vote. And if they weren't wearing an Obama sticker or carrying a sign or a poster or something supporting Obama, they weren't allowed. They were intimidated into not going into the voting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So, and where's the law enforcement?
Where's the racism there?
No, there is none.
You see? But this wasn't targeted just at white people. This was targeted at black people, too.
Right. Anybody just voting. That's right. That's right, Don. And where's the law enforcement, though? You're not allowed to have anything like that around a polling area.
Well, these are the people that Hillary Clinton represented when they got in some trouble some years ago.
Good old Hillary.
Okay. See, this is the Chicago mob running the country.
Sure.
And the Russian mob and the Zionist mob, including the Wall Street bankers and all the minions that they put into the administration.
Right. These are just low-level minions. They're all low-level minions. All those mobs. The real mobs are the families that control the money supply of every country. That's the real mob. Everything else is beneath them. They're just smaller fish. The big fish to fry are the Rockefellers, the Schwarzschilds, Warburgs, Goldman Sachs, Morgans,
there was a big demonstration. They say it was a peace march, but it was a demonstration in New York City. Did you hear anything about that?
Nope, I didn't.
They went to ground zero at the World Trade Center, and they were protesting the fact that there's going to be a mosque.
Oh,
built
well,
there.
Yes, yeah, I heard that a while back, that the these Muslims were filing for permission to get approval to build a mosque in the ground zero location in New York City. And of course, just the fact that they're contemplating whether or not they're going to give them a permit. I mean, take those guys out and hang them on the spot. Now, of course, there was a lot of back pressure coming out from the Americans not tolerating that one. Okay, thank God. And there are good Americans out there, always active, but just not enough. But a lot of people voice their opinion. So last I heard, Don, that was being squashed. Are you saying now that it's they're still contemplating this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were at least, in the pictures that I saw, you could see at least 100,000 people. But the people went down the streets. I mean, you know.
They were there to protest the fact that they want to build a mosque there. That's what.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, what I found interesting is in the signs that some of the people were carrying, of course, this is about terrorism. This is about box cutter wielding ragheads living
that's
in the
right.
mountains of Afghanistan.
That's right.
See, so that's the message that most people don't see. People see the fact that there was a demonstration, that they were voicing this. Well, what is the whole thing about then? They're trying to resell the story of 9/11 because it's been deficiently debunked. Just like the Gulf has been deficiently debunked, and Fort Hood has been sufficiently debunked.
Oh, yeah, but they'll never stop selling their version. No, of course not. But the fact that they're contemplating to let Muslims build a mosque in a location where supposedly radical Muslims took down three buildings.
Yeah, if you go by their story, it's insane, right?
Yes. It's all insane.
But the reason they're doing it is to keep this story alive, you see? Oh, no,
Don, there's more to it than that. No, Don, there's more to it than that. They will allow the Muslims to build that mosque, Don, if the Americans remain quiet enough. They will allow it to happen, Don. This is just another step in the total destruction of the American culture. This loser we have, Obama, he's got a Muslim on board, big into Sharia law. Why? Because they're going to try to pull the crap on us that they did to the people in London and in Europe, where they flooded Europe with Muslims, and now the Muslims have their own courts, Sharia law. You can't try them in your court. They can only be tried in their court. What kind of crap is that? Well, they're going to try pulling that on us now, too.
Oh, and this is a nation that was founded in Christianity, and they're basically doing their best to wipe it off.
Precisely.
So, you know, so
precisely. That's the bottom line, too.
Isn't that a bit hypocritical?
That's what we got running our country. Bunch of hypocrites doomed to hell. And the faster we send them there, the better off we all will be.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the American people and the military to have enough of this nonsense. Craziness. Beyond nonsense, it's literally insanity.
Oh, yeah.
And,
no doubt.
And, yeah, we got to take the asylum back from the insane that are running it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, we've seen photo ops of what's going on in the Gulf. There are people that are experiencing problems, day-to-day problems. Number one, they can't work. They can't do what they do, and that's fish for food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's food that's not reaching the shores. Where are we getting the food? Where are they stocking the shelves from? China? Or is it from the Russian company running its subsidiary, Almaya, out of Dubai? See, that's a direct link to this oil thing. The Alpha Group owns Almaya. The Alpha Group has been trying to buy out BP in Russia in their joint partnership with TNK BP. Then again, we have this issue that BP is not totally a British company. There's, I forget if it's 29% or some, maybe as high as 40% of the stock is owned by American companies. You don't hear much about that.
You sure don't, Don. I don't know how true that one is there,
yeah,
pal.
It is.
Well,
we've looked at the exchanges. Now, the trades that went down on the 20th, is that not an accident?
That's all by design. But the American companies, I don't know. I just don't know about that being that high up in BP. Obviously, if there's any American companies.
There are. This is pretty well known.
They don't have any clout. They don't have any clout.
Well, they're not the majority owners, but they. Yeah. But these guys are doing this together. You see, this is about cap and trade.
Yes, I understand all that.
Money sure. For Goldman Sachs.
Sure, I understand. There's a bigger agenda to the incident in the Gulf besides wiping out the ocean life and making life difficult for everyone along the coastline. Sure, it's all about advancing the global agenda and getting this cap and trade bill so that they can finally tax us for breathing. Because let's face it, what is cap and trade? It's a carbon tax. Carbon dioxide is bad, they're telling us, even though it makes the planet green. And the greener the planet, then the more oxygen there is for mammals to breathe. So obviously, the less greener the planet, then the less fresh oxygen there's going to be. And so, of course, carbon dioxide can't be a toxin like they're saying. This is how absurd and insane it's all becoming. Technically, what they're doing, Don, is trying to finally get a tax us on breathing. That's all it comes down to. They finally figured out a way to say, we're going to tax you for breathing air.
Well, we do other things besides breathe air. Are they going to tax us for that, too?
Well, I think they tax us on pretty much everything else, Don. Breathing air was the last one they had to figure out.
In fact, what if you're good at holding your breath? Do you get carbon credits for that?
I doubt it.
How ridiculous this is.
Sure, it's insane. It's lunacy.
They're still pumping global warming. They're still pumping that. They're still talking about the flu and getting vaccines. My goodness.
They're not going to go away, Don. See, they're not going away. And that's why we have to make sure we eradicate them. Because they're not going to go away. They are hell-bent on their agenda of wiping out the population of the planet so there's reduced down to a controllable number of slaves, of work slaves. And then as they advance their technology, they're going to make it more of an automaton workforce. And then the remaining people, that won't have any jobs at all, and then they'll probably have to dispose of them as well if they can pull it all off and actually get it that far, which they won't. Because there's no way God Almighty is going to allow these devil scumbags to get that far with destroying his creation.
Yeah, I've said that a number of times, too.
That's their plan. And they're not going to go away. They're not going away. Not until we totally eliminate them. And that's why I ask the people in the military, come on, wake up. You belong home, protecting your country at home from a domestic enemy. And foreign agents controlling our government and subjecting all of you to foreign conflicts constantly and poisoning you through exposure to the DU, as well as all the warfare activity that you're exposed to for bodily harm and death. And so, obviously, it's all part of their plan. And we really need our military to wake up quick and get back home and save this country, because we don't have a real militia anymore. And those militias that exist, I respect and honor them, but we just don't have the infrastructure of a defense organization like the country used to have. And they know that. That's the first thing they dismantled with the National War Powers Act.
Yeah, it'll be the militias will spring out from the grassroots.
That's right. That's right. But the organization isn't even there for working with each other. You see, and you need organization. If you're going to succeed at something, there has to be excellent organization involved. And they know that, and that's why we're in the situation we're in. But by the necessity of it all, then we will start to develop all that. But how much time will we be afforded to get that in place and try to stop this onslaught by a domestic enemy that's run by foreign agents? And so the military is the key, very key. And that's why they're all abroad, of course. And they just got to wake up and realize this and get back home fast and do the right thing and defend this constitutional republic like they've sworn an oath to. And all the previous vets have done. Even though the Vietnam War was BS and Korean War was BS and the Bosnian War is BS all the way up to now. And World War II and World War I. They're all BS. If the globalists pull off this UN one world government system, then all those previous wars, everybody fighting was for nothing in our country. For fighting for freedom, to keep us free. Well, obviously, our government, the people in our government, don't want us free. And they're supporting every enemy that we fight against. And so it becomes blatantly obvious, the real enemies nesting in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, why should anyone have to be concerned about their government being its enemy? Really, when you think about it. But
well, that's the thing, Don. You know, over the years, people would say, but Michael, I mean, why would our own government do that to us, right? I mean, that's the first natural thought you're going to come to your head. My own government wants to poison me or have me jobless and so forth. Yes, they do, because it's not our government. The people in our government are not Americans.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's a shocker, but it's all obvious now, very obvious. And with this recent spy thing, it's all a joke. It's all a joke because there's no real spying going on. Right on the History Channel, I've seen how after World War II, we bring over the Nazi scientists to pursue the jet engine. And we succeed. The Russian communists tried to get as many Nazi scientists and get the jet engine from them, but they failed. So what happens? In Britain, right on the History Channel, Don, in Britain, playing billiards, British scientists and Russian scientists. Now, I thought we're enemies. There's a Cold War going on. This is late 40s, just before the Korean War. And they're playing billiards with supposedly an enemy, the Russian communists. And after the billiards, the British scientists tell the Russian scientists, well, you know, you didn't have any luck getting the jet engine like we did. So here, take our Rolls-Royce jet engine home with you. So there's no spying. They're blatantly giving them everything they need. And all this spying is a ruse. It's all a ruse. It's phony. All those people think they're spying on each other. They're wasting their time. They're just more pawns on a chessboard. When they want to give our enemy something, they just blatantly give it to them. Just like with Slick Willie, when the commie Chinese couldn't launch a missile. That's great. They can't launch a missile. That's great for us. Well, now Slick Willie says we got to teach them how to launch a missile. And so he sends over the technology with the manpower, and he got money for it, and that's why he should have been hung for treason, taking money from a foreign government. And then now the commies were able to launch a missile, but that wasn't good enough. Good old compassionate conservative boy George Bush comes in, and the commie Chinese couldn't hit a bullseye with their missiles. So that's not satisfactory for our president. We got to show them how to hit a bullseye. And he sends over the technology and the manpower so the commie Chinese can hit a bullseye. What is the bullseye that they want to hit? Well, it's going to be L.A., New York. So here, you know, I mean,
I hope they aim their missiles at Walmart, to tell you the truth.
Sure. And Washington, D.C., direct them all right there and do us a favor, please. And so they're blatantly giving them what they need, Don, to become a competitive power to threaten our country's well-being.
Yeah. That was the essence of my research on Eisenhower and what really came out about the U.N., The UN was behind all of this since 1942.
That's right.
We paid Russia's way. We paid the Soviet Union's way through World War II.
Yeah, Ford was over there building them the tanks. GE went in to set up the power grid so they had electricity. Commies, they had nothing. They killed off all of their intellectia, the brain power. They killed them all off because that will threaten their ability to control the people. And so they had nothing. And they were no threat to us at all. So they give them it all, including the jet engine, which I just mentioned now. Right on the History Channel, they go on to say, well, little did they realize after they gave them the jet engine that jet engine would be used in Russian MiGs over Korea. And it's like, of course they knew that. There couldn't be a Korean conflict if the Russians didn't have a jet, because we had a jet. What are they going to do? Use their plane against our jets? They're not going to last, right? Obviously. So they needed to do this, and they blatantly give it to them. They always prop up our enemy that we end up going to war with. And it's so obvious and blatant. And they continue to get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's one scandal after another. They're all Ponzi schemes is what they are.
Yep, they're always making money behind, you know, on all these operations. There's plenty of money being exchanged as well, for sure.
And I don't think, I have to tell you, just in the research I've done the past couple of days, I don't think even Kennedy understood how deeply rooted this system was behind the scenes.
I think he fathomed it just at near his end days. That's when he, you know, his last few months, probably his last 6 months, I would imagine, that's when he started to really understand the complexity of the web that these sinister forces have weaved throughout the world.
You know, they pulled this off in Dallas, Texas. Now, they pulled it off with the people that surrounded the Dallas area where they were operating. They were operating out of Denison, Sherman, Amarillo, and little towns out in the country. You know, they weren't running this operation in the big city, except where they had politicians in office.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, even the cover story for Lyndon Johnson, Michael, is absolutely impossible. A 15-year-old leaves high school and comes back and is the principal at the high school and teaching at four different grade levels simultaneously. This is in his biography.
Pertaining to what now, John?
You couldn't slop hogs with this information. They wouldn't allow it.
Okay, he's associating this 15-year-old with somehow with JFK.
This is Johnson. This is his background.
Oh, at 15, he's doing all that?
He was an infiltrator like the rest of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
They had to make up this whole story about who he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got to portray such a... They're all prodigies, Don. Very, very enlightened men, very advanced intellects. And sure, they're all a bunch of crooks. And when they kick the bucket, they all go straight to hell.
Now, I haven't figured out what his name is yet, but for now, I would be just as happy to call him Pee Wee Herman, except I'd be insulting Paul Rubens, and I don't want to do that. It doesn't matter what his real name was, but I can tell you he was not Lyndon Johnson. Even the story, again, like with McCain, like with Obama, like with Bush, with the whole bunch of them,
mm-hmm.
The story about him getting married is a lie. How he met his wife, Lady Bird, and when they got married is a lie. The official story is as much a lie as the other stories.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Sure, Don, it makes sense. He was a big political figure, so his background must have been pretty murky as well.
Yeah, back then he was just a loser. Her family had the money, see?
No, he had money from his dad's side, didn't he?
No, uh-uh. Remember, he's an infiltrator. Trust me on this. A 15-year-old doesn't quit school and go back to school and become the principal of the school. You know, after a short jaunt in California.
Oh, sure. I'm sure that's all BS for sure. But I think LBJ, he had some money from his dad's side. His dad was a dirtbag, too, into racketeering down there in Texas with oil and cattle.
He's an infiltrator, and his dad's an infiltrator. That's all I can say to that.
Sure.
What I found is it has all the earmarks of him being one of these players. He made his money from what he was skimming off the VA and what he was skimming off of other programs that were being set up. Okay? They set up whole fictitious families that were receiving dependence benefits. Mm-hmm. These were people that didn't even exist.
Yep.
That were reported as killed in the line of duty in a major battle at sea.
No shame, no honor at all. But at the same time, I believe that he also was involved with a lot of the munition factories that were making the armaments for the Vietnam War too. He had a pretty good kickback coming in from them as well.
Probably. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Sure.
Probably. I haven't done all the research on that.
Sure, because he went right in and opened up the Vietnam War, boy, and he was making those guys very happy.
But when I saw how he was aiding this Lonnie Roberts, a.k.a. A.C. Casey, a.k.a. Charles McAmee, a.k.a. Lloyd Seeley, a.k.a. Luther Loy Seeley. You know, the guy had 10 to 20 aliases, and he actually changed his alias to become the mayor of Denison during the time that Eisenhower was running for the presidency. He was the guy, and this is why I say it's Eisenhower's brother, because he had a brother, Eugene, that was allegedly killed in World War I, and this guy's last alias was Gene Seeley. He went out with that one. He's on all the money laundering lists with real estate. This is a big money thing for them, just like what they're doing today. It's the same thing. They're using the same thing. The difference is now everything is put on the internet. It's on in these databases. And the average person looks at it and they say, "Oh, why am I looking at this? I don't need to look at cemetery information." There's nothing. It says cemetery at the top, but there's nothing about a cemetery on the rest of the whole page. Thousands and thousands of names, fictitious names.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting money. People are collecting Social Security on this stuff.
Sure, sure. And you know that's still going on to this day.
That's how Johnson made his money. Okay?
Well,
now I'm going to...
I think that was pocket change, Don. That was just pocket change for those guys.
Well, they did it. Johnson did it for a number of years.
Right, but still, I'm sure that was all just pocket change. That was just
30 years he was involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make quite a bit when you're stealing millions of dollars.
Sure, but his real kickback was coming from the Rockefellers and the ammo boys making all the armaments for the war. That's where his real money was coming from.
Yeah. I want to play something from Alan Keyes here, where he's describing the situation in this country as far as our leadership and the bogus people that are in positions of power.
Obama is a radical communist, and I think it's becoming clear. That's what I told people in Illinois, and now everybody realizes it's true. He's going to destroy this country. We're either going to stop him, or the United States of America is going to cease to exist.
Is there any... Do you still hold regrets against not having long enough time to debate against President Obama?
I don't have any regrets. I went into Illinois. People told me at the time I didn't stand much of a chance of winning. The idea was to bear a true witness. The man is an abomination. He is someone who has actually advocated infanticide, that when babies are the target of abortion, if they happen to escape the abortionist's intentions and are born alive, he actually supported the idea that those babies should be set aside to die. That is a man with such a seared conscience, I can't even understand why anybody in their right mind would consider him worthy of political support. That's a violation of conscience that is inconceivable. And even some of the most hardline pro-abortion people in America rejected that abomination, and he did not.
So what does tonight mean when President Obama is President of the United States? How does tonight play a role?
That's another question. Is he President of the United States? According to the Constitution, in order to be eligible for President, you have to be a natural born citizen. He has refused to provide proof that he is, in fact, a natural born citizen. And his Kenyan relations say that he was born in Nairobi at a time when his mother was too young to transmit U.S. citizenship. So I'm not even sure he's President of the United States. No, that's not a laughing matter. Neither are many of our military people now who are going to court to ask the question, do we have to obey a man who is not qualified under the Constitution? We're in the midst of the greatest crisis this nation has ever seen. And if we don't stop laughing about it and deal with it, we're going to find ourselves in the midst of chaos, confusion, and civil war. It's time we started acting like grown-ups.
How could the policy that President Obama makes in the next couple of years affect activities like tonight?
The person you call President Obama, and I frankly refuse to call him.
Right.
At the moment, he is somebody who is kind of an alleged usurper, who is alleged to be someone who is occupying that office without constitutional warrant to do so. And he's rushing forward with ideas like destroying our borders, an amnesty bill that will actually have the American taxpayer footing the bill for illegals to come to this country to live, to get housing, and to get everything they want. He is also somebody who has just announced a program that would essentially destroy the validity of existing mortgages and encourage everybody in the country to stop paying their mortgage because the government is going to pay it instead. This is insanity. It's as if we have put insane children and adolescents in charge of our government. And I think we need to ask simple questions. A couple of years ago, we were arguing over every penny in the United States budget, and it was quite clear we didn't have enough money to go around. Well, somebody asked me where we came up with $2 trillion in the course of the last 6 months. Did we wish for it out of the air? Have people gone mad in this country? You don't have that money. We are claiming that a bankrupt government can save a bankrupt banking system. Explain to me how that happens, because I think that's impossible. And the fact that we have just elected an individual who may or may not be qualified, and he presents silly ideas like this and says, let's move forward now, and we're all acting like the laws of economics have been repealed, and we can actually afford to foot the bill with money nobody's got. This is insane. It's got to lead to the collapse of our economy, and it's going to.
And that was Alan Keyes.
Yes, and very well said. And a very articulate gentleman. Knows how to present the facts. And nobody can argue with one thing he said there, except for the idiot media. You know, like how they shirk and laugh when you say, is he really our president? Has he proven that he's a natural-born American? Oh, come on, you're just being silly here. And that's what we got from a phony media that doesn't do any research or investigation. No, they just, like Obama and the previous presidents, they're just teleprompter readers. That's all they are, actors, highly paid whores to read a teleprompter and sell a bunch of BS to the public. And unfortunately, a lot of the public likes to eat BS for some reason.
Now, Gibbs, the White House press secretary, gave a press conference, and he was answering questions. And it kept flashing up on the screen, Jim Brady press room. And I thought, there's that subliminal message. You remember Jim Brady?
Sure. Guns are bad.
Yeah. You see, this is to remind us of gun control. And then
it led me
to ask the question, why didn't they rename the Oval Office the Lewinsky Room?
Because if Hillary got elected, there was no way she was going to hear that one.
Oh, man. That was my thought.
That's a good one.
the Lewinsky Room. Well, Alan Keyes very succinctly said, and our listeners are agreeing with us, too. I'm getting all kinds of email and chat messages to that effect. Really, that's what we've been saying. We say this is insanity. We say this over and over.
That's
we are
right.
witnessing criminal psychopaths.
Hell-bent on destroying this country as fast as they can.
Oh, yeah. All the while saying that they're fixing everything.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
It's a fix. No, you can fix a boxing match. You can fix a racehorse. You can fix a bingo game or a lottery.
And a lottery. There you go.
They're
and
fixing,
a war.
Yeah.
Can fix a war, too.
Yes.
But they sure can't fix any of this because they're the cause of all these problems. They're like a terrible mechanic. You have a problem with the car. Oh, yeah, we'll fix it. Bring it in. Next thing you know, it's running worse. Oh, don't bring it back. We'll fix it. You get it back again, it's even running worse. Bring it back again. We'll fix it. And they keep charging you every time. This is what we're dealing with. And, of course, obviously, you won't go back to such a loser mechanic. But for some reason, we keep tolerating these loser politicians, the scum that keep rising to the top of politics. And we keep tolerating their BS lies. We're trying to fix it. We're going to fix it. We just have to pass this law to take more of your freedom away so we can fix this. We just have to take more of your money and give it to these bankers that caused all your economic problems so they can fix it. What a... Well, Don, that's why I always say you hang them high and you hang them fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't do... There's nothing else you do with these kind of losers, despots, despicable scum. You just hang them once and for all. Let them meet their maker and be judged for the scum they are.
Now, not that I want to change the topic, but last Tuesday I had the publisher, editor of the Idaho Observer and the founder of Vaccination Liberation, Ingrid Castle, on. That's for those of you out there that aren't familiar with her name. She is the widow of Don Harkins, publisher, editor of the Idaho Observer, who was murdered back in 2009. And we talk about certain technologies on this show, and those technologies were used on Don, technologies of a radioactive nature. And if you think things are bad in the Gulf, to get the dose of radiation that he got, you could kill a whole army with it and still have radiation left over. Ingrid on the show talked a little bit about Don. We both did, for that matter.
Sure, God bless his soul.
But we talked about a lawyer by the name of Edgar J. Steele, who was picked up under a charge of hiring his handyman, Larry Fairfax, to murder his wife and his mother-in-law for an insurance policy. Now, they, in the process of arresting Mr. Steele, they ripped out all the walls, all the floorboards, and he had money stashed away in certain places. Silver.
Obviously, they knew that.
Silver and gold, and basically they stole all of this.
Mm-hmm. They knew it was there, too.
Yeah, they knew he had it, of course. And it was legal. There was nothing underhand about him having it.
Of course, of course. But for some reason, they knew he had a stash, Don.
No, see, they have to steal it because now he doesn't have the money, and that's somehow going to fortify this bogus charge that that he's hiring his handyman.
Mm-hmm.
He described various amounts of money. In fact, the handyman stole the first batch of money that he had hidden in a certain place.
Must be through that individual that they knew about what his stash was all about and made plans to steal it.
Well, Fairfax has a reputation, according to what Ingrid said, of and Edgar, for that matter, of being an FBI stooge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this individual was a doctor, did you say, Don?
No, he's a lawyer.
A lawyer.
Yeah.
Hmm. He was a good guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. And he had a newsletter that he sent out called Conspiracy Pen Pal also.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, he's very outspoken about a lot of things. And he was putting a lot of the truth out there. I can't say that I agreed with everything he said.
Sure.
Sometimes I thought, you know, we were in agreement about certain things. And there were other times where I didn't. My take on what the war on terrorism and his take are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So
Well, why did they go after him?
Probably because of the amount of truth that was coming out in his message.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is ultimately related to the Anti-Defamation League, otherwise the ADL.
Yep, the spy agency for the Zionists, one of their spy agencies.
Yeah. Now he was supposedly in a jail in Spokane, Washington, even though he's in Idaho. See, they took him out of state.
Right.
And then they moved him, and we don't know where he is, but he's asking that people write to him. So I wanted to give out that information to the listening audience. So,
and what about his wife and kids?
Well, his wife, I don't know about the mother-in-law, but certainly his wife and his kids are very concerned about what's transpired, because they tried to convince her that this is real. This, you know, of course they're going to try to do that. They're going to try to turn your family against you.
Absolutely.
Or do whatever they have to do.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they ask me to help. I have no intention, but I'm it's tongue in cheek.
Of course.
They're going to try anything.
Yes, to break them up apart. Absolutely.
But it's quite obvious. Now, some lawyers looked at this case, and they flat out said, you know, it's obvious that he's being railroaded. Even some people within law enforcement are saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's that obvious.
So there's an issue here. Now, I'm going to give out Ed Steele's mailing address, and if you're so inclined to just write him, tell him you're standing beside him in this and that we're going to get to the truth, the full address, and you have to use your complete return address. Otherwise, the letter will get rejected. Edgar Steele, number 361857, Spokane County Jail, West 1100 Mallon, M-A-L-L-O-N, and that's Spokane, Washington, 99260-0320. And we've got a call on the line here, Michael, so maybe we should take this call. And I'll repeat that address for those that weren't able to get their pen and paper. We've got John in Washington on the line. John, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for tonight's guest, Michael Anthony?
Am I on?
You're on.
Well, what I want to talk about, I think Obama is... He knows his way to talk around law things. Fuck you,
John,
the Don Mike Show.
John, can you do me a favor? Turn the volume down on whatever you're listening to. If you're listening online, you know, your speakers. Because I'm hearing an echo, and it's actually a delay. Okay, are you back now? Well, we seem to have lost him. John, are you back? This is live radio. Okay, well, he's gone. All right.
Try back, John.
Yeah, if you're able to handle that, John, get the volume down, then call us back. We'll be happy to take your question. Okay, for those of you who didn't have pen and paper, hopefully you have it now. One more time, Edgar Steele, that's S-T-E-E-L-E, number 361857. Next line, Spokane County Jail. Next line, West 1100, that's 1100, Mallon, M-A-L-L-O-N. Spokane, Washington, 99260-0320. Now, if you're on his newsletter mailing list and you're not getting the newsletter, you now know why. Obviously, he doesn't have access to a computer to let you know what's going on, but he can receive mail. You've got to put a complete return address on it, or they will not give it to him. And we have to let him know that we're standing beside him.
Mm-hmm.
No initials, I'm told, on the return address. So you've got to write that out. Evidently, they're afraid that terrorists are going to write letters to people in jail. And I hear we have John back now. John, are you with us?
Yeah, I got my volume down.
Much better. Much better.
All right. What I really want to talk about, I think Obama is a really good speaker.
Fuck.
All right. That's it.
Well, that wasn't that very good speaking right there.
How do you apologize for somebody that's got the IQ of a rotten peanut?
Well, you really can't. And unfortunately, there's people that just don't understand the seriousness of the situation we have here, Don. And one day they will come to terms with it, and I'm sure they'll be crying.
Yeah, and if you're still listening, John, we'll make sure we have your phone number, and we'll pass it on to the proper people. So there you go.
Enjoy Obama's change, John, and all the great things it's going to bring to you.
Well, see, now our regular listeners are listening, you see, and they have to send the minions out there.
Well, there's a guy with too much time on his hands, I guess. Enjoy your man, old bummer, John.
Yes. Well,
Obama means one big ass mistake, America, John. Okay? Try to remember that.
All right. Well, as I was saying, now we have this issue with Edgar Steele. Edgar has really done nothing wrong here. He's been speaking out. He's been speaking the truth, best he knows.
Yep, so they come after him with trumped-up charges that he's trying to murder his wife and kids.
His wife and his mother-in-law.
Oh,
or an insurance policy.
Now, 40 insurance, uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, how many couples do you know that have insurance policies on their mother-in-law?
Yeah, that's a good point there, Doc.
That's a new one.
I mean, is the insurance company really going to shell it out if you succeeded, you know, and say, boy, this is very suspicious. I mean, how many people have insurance on their mother-in-law, and sure enough, she's dead? And I mean, the only, unless you have the same insurance that Silverstein had with building number 7, I think you're going to have a hard time collecting.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to do? We're about
you hang them high and you hang them fast.
Yeah. We're about out of time here, Michael. Certainly, we covered a lot of ground tonight. It's amazing. There are some real idiots out there. There really are.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's the product of the government school system we just heard there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Or either that, or that was a census worker, one of the two.
Government, yeah.
And now he's out of work, so he's losing it.
Yeah, he's disgruntled.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's really sad. We're in such serious situations here, but like I always say, Don, the light at the end of the tunnel is what we stay focused on. Not the gloom that's immediately around us, but that bright light at the end of the tunnel, which is the good Lord's salvation. Because sure enough, things are going to continue to heat up. And obviously that's happening now. And it has nothing to do with man-made pollution, of course. It's happening out through all our creation as big changes are coming our way. And so these devil scumbags running the world down here, they're in their last big hurrah before they're going to get squashed. They're going to get terminated by the good Lord himself. And there's nothing they can do. There's no place to hide. They're underground bases. They're off-world bases. Doesn't matter where they try to hide. You can't hide from the light of God, boys. Your days are numbered. You're almost over. Enjoy it while you can, because where you're going, you're just going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I'll try to send you a lot of marshmallows.
Yeah.
You can toast them into nice fires you're going to be roasting in for all eternity, you scumbags.
Yeah. Well, I share your sentiments. I have my own way of saying it, but that's what this show is for.
Well,
so I want to thank
have
you.
I have no tolerance for that, Don.
Yeah, I know. I know. I want to thank you for being on the show, Michael, and let folks know that you're going to be on Evident Footprints again on the 21st. That's a week from tomorrow.
Great, Don. Be looking forward to it, as always.
And it'll be interesting to see what story we have now, if it's going to be by the end of July or August that they're going to have this thing fixed.
Well, one thing's for sure. Time is going by extremely fast. And they were supposed to have it situated under control by August, they told us, a couple months, or at least a month ago.
Oh, they were saying that in May.
Yeah, already 2 months ago.
Yeah, which is...
And so obviously they're really dilly-dallying with that one. But no surprise, this is all part of their strategy to undermine the security of the United States. And but the good Lord is still in control of everything. And all we have to do is remain close to Him, always. And if they manage to get through, and the Lord permits them to get to us, you know you're going to a good place. You're not going to go to a really nasty place like they're all going to, which is called hell, and it's for real. The Lord is good, and the righteous will prevail, and they will get their rewards, and the wicked will get their just punishment, because the good Lord is just, and these people with their free will decision-making have caused so much misery and suffering for no reason except that they enjoy it. And because of that, they lost their souls and are doomed to hell. And that's just how it is. Not being mean or nasty, just speaking the truth, as plain and simple as it is. There's a hell and there's a heaven. And all the wicked end up in that toasty world that's very hot and very uncomfortable. And I just want to send them there as fast as possible so we can get our country saved. But the good Lord is in control. And we have to stay close to Him. And it's very simple. Just live virtuously. Always do the right thing. Be honorable in everything you do. And say, never mock the good Lord. Never take His name in vain. Show respect and honor to your Creator. Because from Him all goodness flows.
Oh, I do.
And always appreciate it.
I do that, Michael. I can't show respect and honor to cap and trade, though. I think we should start calling it crap and fade.
Crap and trade, crap and fate. I'm all with it, Don. That's absolutely right.
That's what we should call it.
That's all it is. No question about it. Everything they do is crap to us. No matter what they sell, it's crap.
Yeah.
Because they're foreigners and traders. And they have to follow their orders, their marching orders from the Rockefellers. And that is to destroy the United States so the United Nations one world government system can establish itself. And that's what we're in the midst of right now. But they're not going to be able to succeed all the way because, fortunately for us, the good Lord has no competition. Nobody threatens His dominion. We're just being tested because ever since the angels fell, mankind replaced those fallen angels in service to the creation, to the good Lord. And so that's why the fallen angels immediately went after Adam and Eve, because they knew they were the replacements. And they did everything they could to trip them up, and they succeeded. And so everything is why it is today. We're mortals. We have various imperfections that we accept. They're not from God. The Lord taught us, be perfect like your Father in heaven's perfect. So therefore, we have to work very hard on ourselves in order to achieve that level of perfection where we can feel clean. Clean in the sense of being honorable. You can lay your head down at night and sleep well, knowing you don't owe anyone anything. and that all your dealings and activities have always been fair and honest, never took advantage, never exploited anything, people or animals or anything. And when you can live that way, you'll have the armor of God's protection around you. And then when these dirtbags try to come after you, they'll have a hard time, very hard time. But you can't drop your armor. And the only way to keep that armor firm and glistening is to live virtuously all the time. And that's all it's so simple. It's unbelievable how simple it is. That's why they bombard us with vices constantly. All you see is vice, vice, vice. And that's what they want. They know if they rob us of our virtue, we have no power. And therefore, we're vulnerable. God can't protect us because we have no power. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. When Abraham asked the good Lord and the angels when they were leaving, what if there's 10 men that are decent? Then the Lord says, I'll spare the cities. What if there's 5? I'll spare the cities. What if there's 1? I'll spare the cities. But if there's no honor and virtuous people dwelling, there's nothing to save. Yes. There won't be anything to save. So that's how simple it is. And that's why we're under attack in this fashion. Constant vices. And this is how simple it is, people. Live virtuously all the time. Keep the Lord close in your mind and your hearts. Appreciate his creation that we're blessed to be in with all its imperfections. And realize it's just a glimmer of the heavenly worlds. And all the beauty in this world is the reflection of the heavenly worlds. All the evil in this world is a reflection of the hell world. And therefore, we have clear choice to make. Which world do we want to associate with? And through virtuous living, we'll be immediately associated with the heavenly worlds. And always never have anything to fear from that point on. And so that's the key to the survival of us as people and a country.
Okay, Michael, got to say goodnight now. We're out of time. But I appreciate
Thank you, Don.
Your closing remarks, and I look forward to your next appearance next week, next Wednesday, on Evident Footprints. Thanks a lot, and have a good night.
You too. Good night, now.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. Also, Don Newsom on the sound. And hope, Don, you were able to get that interference that we got a while ago on that call out of the archive. Also, want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my extra special guest will be musician, music composer, performer, and YouTube personality, Michael Fisher. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.